This is fine. Thank you. Greet you in the name of Jesus this morning. Thank you so much for all you've shared. All of you young people, it's inspiring and encouraging, and probably more so than anything I can say. I was really blessed that all of y'all, or most of y'all, had something to share, and I was blessed with what you shared. You know, God has placed a burden and a passion and a heart full of inspiration inside you after these weeks. And I remember well carrying that inside, and it's bubbling up, and yet I had this fear of losing it. And I was agonized over that. How could I keep these feelings, these desires, these motivations real and strong in my life? And you can. I'll just give you one little piece of advice. Don't let it become stagnant. Pour out. Pour out. Serve by love. Serve one another. Galatians says that in Paul's discourse about Christian liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And if you can, all of us have opportunity to do that. If you can pour out in simple ways, the other things will stay much more alive in your life. So I'll try not to keep you long. I'll shoot for 11:45, just so you know, and see if I can make that. Maybe if I whittle out enough, I'll be quicker than that. But I would like to talk this morning about bodybuilding. I'm aware that some are doing this. And if I could inspire us, you know, after all of us had a week, or most of us had a week 2 weeks ago, of rich teaching, inspiring teaching, and some of us had 2 weeks, and if I could inspire us to one more thing on top of that, one practical thing that we could start doing today that would help keep this inspiration alive in our hearts, it would be bodybuilding. Now, I'm not talking about the big guy with the bulging muscles, and when he moves, everything ripples, and I'm not talking about that fella. Matter of fact, I don't think that looks good at all. I think it looks ugly. I don't think man was intended to look like that. I think God intends for man to look healthy, strong, not feeble and pale and weak and sickly when things are right, when his body is functioning right, but I don't think God meant for a man to look like some of these bodybuilders look. And I've never looked at how they do it. I did look a little into it, but the sole purpose is to impress the stage. It has nothing to do with strength. The bodybuilders don't work in workouts. It's not a strength competition. It's not a speed competition. It is simply so that every part of their body looks good. Okay? Don't ask me what looks good about it, but every single part, every crease, every bulge, every indent, everything is supposed to look just right. And then they get medals for this when they're up there on the stage. To me, it's ridiculous. But these fellas take it very seriously. 5 to 6 pounds of meat, 2 gallons of water a day. Every single day, focusing on different parts of the body. Every single day, there's different workouts for different parts. And trust me, I don't follow these guys. I just looked up a little because I was curious this morning as I considered this subject. Then their last days, before they go on the stage, they quit drinking water and eat hardly anything. And their skin just shrinks. And that's how they display all that. But every single part of that body is supposed to be perfect. That's not the kind of bodybuilding I'm talking about. But I would like for us to surely be just as serious about this bodybuilding as they are about theirs. You know, this body is also being prepared for the stage. It is on the stage. Paul said in Ephesians that the church that's built up in Christ, God wants to take that church, use that church, and make known or display to principalities and powers in heavenly places, the manifold wisdom of God. This body is also on display, and it's important that every part of it be right. God's honor is at stake, not some bodybuilder's honor. But before we go farther, let's bow our heads and pray. Our Father, we come to you this morning, and we thank you so much for the work that you've done in so many of our hearts. In the last week and in the 2 weeks ago, Father, you've encouraged us, you've inspired us by your Spirit. And Father, here we are, and we want more of you. And Father, here we are, and we want to know what to do with what you've given us. Lord, I just pray that you would meet with us again one more time this morning. I just pray that the word this morning would be very practical, and Lord, that you would inspire all of us to be useful for you. Father, to do something, to be something that does not get stale. That would help us not to lose these precious, precious things that you've given us. Father, we just pray that your body would edify itself this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So you know by now I'm talking about the body of Christ. And Paul had a lot to say about this kind of bodybuilding in more than one of the epistles. Peter had something to say. But the verse I'd like to start with this morning is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. As we consider bodybuilding, and I hope I have time here to still do what I was going to do. I was going to look at some obstacles to overcome, and then at pursuing with passion, and the whys and the hows of bodybuilding. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, talking about Christ, from whom the whole body, it's talking about the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And if you flip back to Ephesians 3:10, you'll see the verse where Paul says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. So this morning, the burden on my heart is for us and to rekindle a vision or just inspire us again to bodybuilding, building up the church. We have two key words this morning, and one is follow after. One is follow after. You'll see that come up in two verses that we're going to look at. And that word is most of the time translated persecute. If you look it up in the Greek, that very word is used about 45 times maybe, and 30 of those times it's translated persecute. So you get the feeling of a tenacious pursuit. And obviously persecute is in the negative, but it's the very same word. And so in the positive, they chose to use follow after. Persecute does not sound right when you're talking about persecuting charity or persecuting edification. But I thought about titling the message this morning, something like that, just to catch our attention and to help us not to forget the strength of this word, follow after. The other word, the other key word this morning is edification. What's edification mean? Yes, to build up. Had I heard something else? Building. Also building up. Good. Very good. I didn't know what we would say. I didn't know if we would say instruction or those kind of things. Sometimes I feel like we've made edification into something that's too hard to lay fingers on or too hard to grasp. Sometimes I feel like when we talk to the edifying, let your speech be to the edifying, edify each other. At least in my mind, oftentimes when I think edification, I think about, you know, instruction in some doctrine or teaching, and that's a part of edification. But edification simply means to build up. To build up. That's all it means. And that's a simple word. And that's one that all of us can attain to. Not all of us can instruct someone in doctrine. Not all of us can instruct someone in the deep things of the faith and of doctrine, but we can all build up. So those are two key words this morning. Back to our verse, and the body that needs to be built, obviously, is the church. And every time when when Paul, Peter referred to the body of Christ, they were talking about the local church, I believe, the assembly. And it's interesting how strongly or how time and again they liken it to the body with many members, and yet they emphasize that every joint and every part is needed to make this body. And just like this bodybuilder focuses on every single muscle, every single part of his body, he takes a day for each part. In the same way, every joint has to be right. Every part has to be supplying their part. Let's read this again. Talking again about Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love, unto the building up of itself in love. Romans 14:19 says, let us therefore follow after, there's your word persecute, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith one may edify another, one may build up another. And this is in the context of brotherhood. This is in the context of the church. Not necessarily talking here about your neighbor next door. He's talking about your neighbor, your brother, those with whom you have to do in the church. Paul is talking about body building. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. Romans 15:2, again, same context, the church, let everyone... Okay, it didn't mention neighbor there. I got ahead of myself. Romans 15:2. Let every one of us please, let's serve or love his neighbor for his good to edification. And that again is the word building up. Build up our neighbor, our brother in the church. Again, it's in the context of the church. In Ephesians 4, just backing up just a little from verse 16, Paul says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And we're on that stage. The desire is, and we are, the church is, the desire is that we are to be a perfect man. There's not to be one bulge or one ripple that's wrong. Things are supposed to be right. To the fullness of the stature of Christ, and that almost seems wrong to use that illustration when we're talking about something as beautiful as a church and the stature of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 14:26, it says, let all things be done unto edifying or unto building up. In 2 Corinthians 12:19, Paul says about himself, we do all things for your edifying. Paul and those that worked with him did all things for the church's edifying. And then in 1 Corinthians 14:12, Paul says, even so, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the building up, or that to the edifying, it says, of the church. Again, the word seek, strong word. Seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. If I could inspire us to one thing this morning, I would like to inspire us to catch a vision of building up the church. I think we lose it due to our size. And I think that's wrong. The church in Ephesians was probably no small church at the time Paul wrote this letter. And yet Paul says every joint, every part, every single part is needed for the supply. I think it's wrong when we feel like we lose our significance, or that we are not as needed in a larger church as we are in a smaller church. We may see it more in a smaller church, but I think we're doing wrong when we begin to feel less necessary. Now, it's good for all of us to learn we're not indispensable. God does not have to have us to build His church. And yet, if we are a part of a church, then we are just as needed in a big church as in a small one. I think that's one obstacle. One obstacle we face, and one reason we don't pour ourselves into it, because where are we needed? You know, what is my part? Where should I serve? Where should I edify? It's interesting, as Paul goes through the gifts here, and I would like to skim through chapter 12 and point out a few things. It's interesting, as Paul goes through the gifts, the troubles and the problems he addresses as he speaks in Corinthians chapter 12 of the different giftings of the body. It's interesting to go down through there and not notice the gifts so much, but actually notice how much of the time is spent addressing problems that come with these gifts. And I would like to say, too, that some of these problems, and in fact most of them, come simply from self. If we can get rid of self, they'll not be there. But it seems like we have a hard time to losing self to nothing. We have to lose self to Christ. In other words, we have a hard time just killing self. We need something to pursue. Our flesh is used to pursuing what we want, what we want, our glory, our honor, and our good look on the stage, if you will. We can't just kill that. It seems like we need to replace that with a passion for something or someone. And in this case, it's Christ and it's His body. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there are diversities of gifts and but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. In chapter 5, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. What did he say three times? He emphasized the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God, which worketh all in all. He mentioned three different things, but every time the emphasis came to it's the same Lord. It's the same body we're edifying, and it's the same Lord we're serving, and it's the same Lord that has given us what we have for the body. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And there again, Paul sets it straight. The manifestation of the Spirit, or the outworking of the Spirit, or what we can supply to the body, is not given to profit us. It's to profit the body. And too often, we get this focus skewed, and begin to think about me, and want to use my gift, yes, for the body, but ultimately it comes back to self. If self has not been dealt with, it will. But when we pursue those things that edify, and edifying the body becomes our focus, all of a sudden the gift we have or don't have becomes very little importance to us. If we realize that our gift has been given to us to edify the body. And then again, he says in verse 8, one is given the Spirit, by the Spirit, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, discerning of spirits, just skipping through their interpretation of tongues, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Again, here you notice the word every. We're not without our part. We're not without our gift. If we've been baptized into Christ, we're not without our gift of the Holy Spirit. He divides to every man according as he will, individually. And then Paul goes on, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, bond or free, and we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And here again, Paul gets into addressing problems. If the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not the body, of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, but one body. If they were all a hand, obviously where would be the body? If the hand was on the stage, nobody would ooh and ah over it, even if it was just perfect. I mean, we would be grossed out. We are anyway, when we're getting back to our illustration. But here Paul deals with the first problem, that is despising our own gift because it's not someone else's. It's not the same as someone else's. Despising our own gift because maybe it looks more insignificant than someone else's gift. Despising our own spot, despising our own place of service, our own place where we can edify the body. We're not doing it, actually, oftentimes when we begin to despise it and wish for someone else's place because we have our eye on some gift. But now if we can turn our eye again to the edifying of the body, to the building up of the body, all of a sudden, somebody needs to do our part. Somebody needs to build up the body in that little corner, in that little spot, in that little opportunity. Who else will do it if we won't? Often no one. Too often no one. Have you ever wondered why people fall through the cracks more in a bigger congregation? We say in the smaller congregation we're more needed, but people feel more cared for in a smaller congregation. In a bigger congregation, you'll find more people who feel less cared for. How can that be? Somewhere we're not seeing it right. Somewhere we're not filling our little spot to fill. And I would like to fill my little spot there, and I'd like to encourage all of us to fill our little place. Whether we're a finger or a little toe, all of the body needs edifying. And the body cannot be all one member. There's many members, yet but one body. Again, the big church, I don't think makes us less needed. I think it makes us more needed. We need to be more alert. We need to be more diligent in our own spot, in our own gift, in our own way of edifying and building up the body. And then again in 21, he says the reverse. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. God forbid that we fall into that, where we despise others' place and feel like, you know, we can do without them just as easily or maybe better. Paul goes on to say, if we feel like that, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Here again, we dare not despise someone else's little spot. And then Paul goes on to say, matter of fact, what looks little and insignificant to us may be one of the more significant places to fill. And this is for us if we're struggling with being satisfied with our gifting, with our place to edify the body of Christ, to build it up. And it's also for us, certainly, if we're tempted to look down on someone else's place. Both of these problems, again, is because we don't care for the edifying the body of Christ as much as we care for the building up of myself. The members of the body can't do that. The members of the body have to work together to build up the body. And we do the same. Again, both of these problems come from not pursuing or not seeking that we may edify the body, but rather, when it comes down to it, I want to edify or build up me. And, you know, there's times we know we need building up, and we can find someone, bless God, who's in their place, who's willing to edify, who's willing to pour out to another member of the body. If they're not sitting there feeling discontent with their gift or looking down on someone else's, you can find plenty to build one another up. But the beautiful thing is here, that we can find is however insignificant our little part seems, Paul says some of those have the most necessary need. Some of those have greater purpose than those that look great. And then he addresses some specifics. He addresses speaking in tongues, one that looked glamorous, versus prophecy. And he says, prophecy is the better one. Seek that you may prophesy. But I don't think that's the point. The point is, why is prophecy the better one? If you look in chapter 14, you'll see that the reason he says that, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, in verse 4, edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. He that prophesies edifies the church. He that encourages one-on-one edifies the church. He that serves the least edifies the church. That's the point. I don't think prophecy is the point here. Sometimes we're discontent because we don't feel like we can prophesy. And anyway, what is prophecy? Prophecy is not always from the pulpit. Prophecy can be one-on-one. Some will barely speak from the pulpit, and yet they'll have a trail of people coming for some prophecy. One-on-one. It's words from the Lord. Words of wisdom. Then Paul goes on in verse 5, says, I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. Again, the focus is that the church be edified. In verse 3, again, comparing tongues with prophecy. But he that prophesies speaks unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort to building up of men. There he doesn't say the church. There he's saying men. Different individuals. He that prophesies has a ministry of edification. And I would like to say he that serves has a ministry of edification. He that encourages has a ministry of edification. She that encourages has a ministry for edification. Again, we're not indispensable. We can, you know, God's work can go on. But when we are a part of the body, Paul says, follow after the things that, or seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Okay. If we don't have a passion for bodybuilding, what's the matter? Are we despising our gift? Are we simply not passionate for the church? You find more focus on edifying the church in the epistles than you do on soul winning. Check it out. I think you'll find that. Correct me if I'm wrong. I stand to be corrected. I did not sit and read all of them again. But as I flipped through and considered and tried to come up with all the verses and the portions dealing, there is more there that has to do with building up the body than winning souls. Winning souls is very important. I have a burden for that. And yet it's interesting, if the body is not being built up, where are you going to take a soul? Where is this soul going to find its body if the body is not being built up? Paul says, we do all things for your edifying, for your building up. I think building up the body is one of the most important things that we can be involved in, every single one of us, from the youngest to the oldest. And I'd like to get a little practical on ways that we just didn't connect to edification. We just didn't call it edification. But remember, it says, let all things be done unto edifying, again, in regards to the church. And we see Paul saying the greatest gifts are those that the church may receive edifying. And let us persecute the things wherewith one may edify another. Let's pursue those with a tenacity and a passion, those things wherewith one may build up another. That is simple enough, isn't it? One may build up another. Singular. Let us seek after those things wherewith one may build up another. And some of us are busily involved with this, finding places to serve. Others of us tend to get lost in the desire to be very useful. We tend to lose the opportunity that's right in front of us. Whether that be with our children, our brothers and sisters, our husband or wife, our neighbor, whoever that may be, we tend to sometimes miss those in the pursuit of wanting to be edifying and prophesying. We think about behind the pulpit. You know, after Paul goes through this, foot say, I'm not of the body. He can't say that because he is a part of the body. He is just as necessary as the hand. If it wasn't for the foot, how would you walk? And he goes through this, and he also says that one can't say to the other, I have no need of you, or you're less important than I. For God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. And here's another test, here's another way that we can know whether our focus is on the edification of the church or the edification of ourselves with our gift. And that is when one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. And here's the kicker. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. That's when I really can tell whether my heart is to build up the church or to build up myself. If it's to build up myself, I just need to repent and build up the church. So God has set some in the church, apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles. Then he says, are all apostles? The answer is no. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? And the answer is always no to these. Everybody does not have all the gifts. It's okay to desire the best gifts for the edifying of the body. When we desire the best gifts for ourselves, for our own selfish reasons and motivations, it only creates the feeling that because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. Or the other one, because that is not the hand, therefore it's not part of the body. It always creates that feeling when we seek earnestly the best gift for ourselves. When we seek earnestly the best gift for the church, for the edifying the body, then we're walking in this more excellent way that Paul puts in between here. Between two chapters devoted to gifts, he puts the more excellent way there called charity. Charity always edifies. Charity always builds up. And I think that's why it's the more excellent way. All these other things, these gifts, we can use them for ourselves, or we can use them for others. Charity is never for ourselves. True love, true charity is never for ourselves. It is always seeking to build up one another, the least, the greatest, and the church. Charity always seeks to build up. It's the better way. And Paul says, and he goes through some of these gifts. He lists them here. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, he lists several gifts here. And that he's, you know, doing well and excelling in them. If he doesn't have charity, it's nothing. And I think, again, the key is, are we seeking to edify the church? Or are we seeking to glorify ourselves? So I would like for us to be encouraged not to quit serving if we realize that we're using our gift too much to serve ourselves, not to stop serving, but rather to turn our focus to the building up of the body. I would like to encourage us, if our hearts have been stirred by Bible school and they're filled up and inspired and ready to pour out, I would like to encourage us, seek to edify the body, build up the body, build up your neighbor, the one next to you, build him up. Let all things be done unto edifying. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to building up, to edification, to building up, building up the body. And edification, again, is not complicated. It is simply building up. There's so many ways that we can build up. It's not complicated teaching. It can include that. It's not only preaching from behind the pulpit. It's not only sharing a testimony in church. It's not only picking a song. It's not only doing something of ministry. The nursing home. Edification is anything to build up. I was involved with a very earthy project recently that was rather overwhelming to me because I didn't have the know-how or the equipment. I just didn't really know what I was doing. Just a very simple, dirty, earthy project. And Brother Mark came over with equipment and experience. And in a few hours, guess what? I was edified. I was edified. From discouragement to encouragement. From discouragement and overwhelming feeling to it's all better. I was edified. I was built up. Someone left a note for my wife. Just appreciating her life and her example. And just slipped it in the car. She was edified. She was built up. She was encouraged. Edification is simple. Edification is not complicated. And if you do it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Christ's body is what we're talking about. And I think the problem is we don't realize the significance of every member in Christ's body needing to be built up. None can be left not built up. On that stage, we want every member to be built up so that to the principalities and powers might be made known the manifold wisdom of God. How do we do it? It's simple. We just build up. We just build up. Maybe you've had your time alone with God and you've taken care of responsibilities at home. If you're a young lady and you notice the young mother or a sister at church that was feeling tired, and you decided to go help. Maybe the baby was fussing all night, tired mom, teething baby, dishes need done, laundry needs done, and mom's overwhelmed, and the sermon on Sunday was about edifying and spending time alone with God, or whatever it was, and this young mother is just feeling overwhelmed about it. You know, how? What's her place in it? How, she doesn't have the time, she can't spend time alone with God, the children are there. And where is her place to edify? She may not be seeing her children as that place. And your presence and your help for her may be just the edification. You can leave there and she's edified. She's encouraged. She's strengthened. She's blessed. One member of the body of Christ has been built up. There's many ways. Reach out and befriend the young person. You know, the one that's not as well accepted. Maybe he's too conservative or she's too conservative or maybe she's just not as social as some. Reach out. Edify. Edify. Build up. Encourage. It's things we young people can do, and it keeps that passion, those inspirations that you've gathered over the week from getting stale. Your older brothers and sisters, I sometimes think you have no idea how edifying or how building up it is when you just take an interest in someone younger, whether it's a young family, young couple, young person, single young person, when you just simply take some interest, speak some words of encouragement or appreciation or instruction, it's called edifying. It's what it's called. Seek to edify. In all our gifts, in all the things that we pursue and seek, the most important is that we seek to edify. Seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church, of any or every member in the church. So I skipped over a lot here and sort of didn't follow the pattern I had planned. I hope it made sense. But I would just like to leave us with that inspiration somehow to go and find our place to build up the body. I would like to inspire us to start today or tomorrow to not be embarrassed if it, you know, sometimes the awkwardness, and I'm over my time. Get over the awkward. get over the awkward. For sure, with brothers and sisters and family and people that we know, there's something about it. If we've not been actively communicating, edifying, building each other up, there's often an awkward that you have to get over. Some of you know what I'm saying, some of you don't. Get over the awkward and build up the body. God bless y'all.